Okay, welcome, John. Thank you very much, my friend. I'm looking forward to actually getting to know you properly and tell your story in this new little venture of mine, because a man like yourself seems super successful and out of reach for a lot of people. But I know from talking to you a little bit that, you don't wake up one morning and then be successful, have a radio station, all that kind of stuff. So I'd like to jump in a little bit to your journey. Get you to introduce yourself, how all the Conscious Business Academy came online, how you're able to have a second property to kind of hide out when the shit hit the fan here last year. I'd love to know more where it all started from for you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you very much, Jonathan. I know that I've watched a couple of your videos online and we have spoken, but I've through the years and through success and everything, we all spin these stories and tell, these big yarns and everything. And I've learned one thing out of my 30, 40 years in business, that it revolves down to one thing, and that is our own belief system in ourselves. And that's really it. Everything else is a layer on that. And we can go through life, and as you're going through that spiritual journey, and you're peeling back those layers, and you're finding out who you are and what you're about. And for me, I've got to the stage that I no longer look at the future and make to see what happens. I very much now sit in the now, and I've detached myself from the outcome and accept forever way it goes. And that's really where it is.
The glass ceiling, I often call that. It's
The glass
like
ceiling.
you're bouncing off, and it's like digging into the beliefs, and it's like every day is a school day, right? And it's ever unfolding, or layers of the onion. I like the way I use that also.
Yeah, it's but it's you start to when you start to realize who you really are, that's when you start to discover your own journey. And if you're doing stuff that's not working out for you, the reason it's not working out is because it's not your path.
It's gold. It's
And
simple at its essence, right? All this stuff is simple at its essence.
and the reason why it stops, because divine, call it spiritual energy, God, whatever you may want it, is sort of telling you've been off, you're off the beaten track, and it wants to pull you back on the track. And it's like the experience you're walking in the woods and you get lost and you get brambles and you're meeting brambles and you're going to go, hang on, this is wrong because this is getting really ugly and tough. So you follow your path back to the path, or a bear jumps out in front of you and roars at you and you go, feck it, and you run back to the path. That's what a life journey is like. That if you're going down a road and it's not working out or there's something wrong, it's sort of those signals are sort of saying you're on the wrong road here. And you could get to a stage that you lose everything. And at that stage, then it's going, well, look, I'm showing you an idea that's in your head. You have that self-esteem issue. Why not try it? You've nothing to lose and see where that path goes on it.
Lovely.
Does it make
100% get it. So I'd love that we could go so many different directions with that, but I'd love to go back now and see what was your grizzly bear, or what was your brambles, where you kind of what inspired you to kind of start looking alternatively, and how did the business start out for you 30 or 40 years ago?
Well, the business has started off looking for me, if you want to go in my 20s and 30s,
Yes,
it
that's
was
exactly where I want to go. Yeah, were you in the moment then?
Material goods. No, it was material goods then. It was, fast cars, partying every weekend. You wouldn't think about it. That was in the 90s and I was in my 20s. And we were, in sales, making a lot of money, you wouldn't think twice of spending a grand, 2 grand on a weekend. You know, that was it.
Yeah.
And that was 10 years. And I think then I came back to Ireland. So I lived abroad for 10 years. And I was in the States and I worked in the States for a couple of years as well. And, you know, I worked within the automotive industry in that time. And I, you know, worked within the US military. So we would supply vehicles to the US military. And that got me to see the world. I've been on multiple aircraft carriers. I've traveled around the world. I've been up in observational towers, you know, looking down into Serbia when I-4 was there, driving around in UN trucks. You know, all this, you know, I'd get a Chinook from one ship in the middle of the Pacific to another ship. You know, that was the transport. And that was the golden life, and that was the rock and roll life. And then I got into my 30s, and now in my 30s then, I saw it. I was an atheist. You know, I didn't believe in anything God. I just, you know, money drove. And then in my 30s, I sort of questioned something. And, you know, I think it was when my son was born. And I sort of questioned things and went, that's interesting. I wonder, is there stuff? And that just led me on a whole new direction. You know, I came back here and I, you know, had a small business here. Then I got into software, in software development, and was in and out of England for about 8.5 years and that. And then the recession hit. And that hit, you know, I had a genetics company then as well. We got some lovely grants from the government here, and we were bringing that genetics company we were based in Washington, D.C. as well. And a lot of money went into that. And, you know, I lost, you know, a large year's salary, you know, on that investment, because we were taken out by bigger people that didn't care about quality, but was more about the book, and we couldn't compete against it. And it was that stage in my life that I kind of went, okay, you know, you're worried about this, you put all your stuff in, you know, there was major internal fights going on in my head, and there were all that sort of stuff. And it was that sort of dark night of the soul, step one, which kind of pushed me more into, you know, life is okay. Life is okay. Don't worry about this. You know, this is all just material. This is all this garbage that's coming through. And, you know, I've learned that you can sort of tell people, oh, I did this and I earned this and I made this and we did this, but it's getting to the stage that all those stuff that I learned more from my failures than I did from the positive stuff that I've had. And with them has brought me to the person that I am today. You know, and, you know, I've been in the radio now 4.5 years with that. I've had the Conscious Business Academy that was created a couple of years ago. I got to do a TEDx, which I've always wanted to do. And I just lead to whatever follows me, because there was one mantra that was always true in my life, Jonathan. And I think this was my greatest quest. Life is meant to be easy. That was the one thing that sort of niggled at me all the time, that life is meant to be easy. You know, if we are in the Garden of Eden and everything is wonderful and we believe in, you know, metaphysics, and we, you know, the world around us is a beautiful place. It was that one thing that I think that's what started me on my journey, my spiritual journey in my 30s.
That one,
and
that
still
one statement.
Today, that one thing was, life is meant to be easy. Even when I was, you know, in my 20s and we were workaholics working, you know, 7 days a week.
I'm getting an image of Wolf of Wall Street, kind of the movie, The Wolf of Wall
Street.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. When we watched when we watched Wolf of Wall Street, I remember ringing up a good friend of mine and going, oh my God, that's quite similar to the life that we live.
I was going to say cell phones, real Americans, but no, the same technology wasn't around. I think he's got away with a lot more back then.
Well, I remember having a mobile phone at 20 and no one else had. And
two hands,
the only thing you could ring people at home that no one else had, you know. But yeah, it was like that. You know, part of it was, but a part of it wasn't. But yeah, and it was just that, you know, life is meant to be easy. Why am I working 7 days a week? And why do we only take a week's holidays at Christmas? And that was it. And that brought us on. So yeah, it's
what do you reckon that is, Joe? Because I'm going through that transition as well, and I've been back and forward with it for a minute. I've jumped back onto the tools here, and I know and I understand, like, you know, because I can relate with you on that, because it was meaning that I started to seek. I wasn't in sales, but I was making good money as a plumber in Australia, but it was no meaning in it for me. I don't know whether I have one question, but I really started to seek meaning from what I was doing. When I was finding all this information through podcasts and going to different seminars and, you know, personal development events, I kept saying, there was a burning desire in me to create a business that was meaningful to me, that I was popping the limiting belief bubbles, or that I was sharing some of the stuff that I was finding out. So what do you say your answer is to that question? Because even though I know, and I'm still kind of journeying with that, ease creating a life and not just a living, what do you reckon is the answer you got? Or what is the answer that you got from that? Why do we struggle?
Courage.
Because I notice people out there going, yeah, we know it's supposed to be easy, but, and it's them beliefs, that glass ceiling that we talked about. But what's your analysis now of looking back in hindsight and then seeing the world?
Well, it's today as well. And I tell you what, I was writing this before the show, right? And I'll read it out to you. And it's probably irrelevant of what we have, right? The greatest curse to mankind is doubt. And this leads to our self-esteem. And this alone has caused so much pain in our lives and the influence in our day-to-day. No one knows what's going on anymore. We have allowed the news people to tell us a story which no longer is news, but it's just entertainment in their eyes. We take everything as face value and no longer question anything. Our political systems continue to control us, a power struggle for our sovereignty. State over religion. Beliefs, what are they? New rules imposed on us. More to control us. What would happen if the world woke up? And maybe this is the biggest fear that the systems have. And already some of these have broke down, or are going to, political, economical, medical, finance. They are failing us all. The world will never be the same. And these words were probably muttered by people in the trenches, or in London in World War II, or any revolution. We've come hyper-focused on the world around us. We know there is a great divide, the left, the right or the wrong. But that's irrelevant, because what we need to focus on is the center for everybody to meet. The consciousness, the divine, it's a conscious divine test.
And that is, it's beautiful, and I totally resonate. And it's ingrained. I don't even want to say indoctrinated, because it's ingrained, the fear, the uncertainty, and the doubt through the whole system is ingrained into us. And I love that. At this point, I can see that implode. That, like you describing that, I'm smiling from ear to ear. Today, I've seen three or four different pieces of content, and I haven't really been sharing them on my Facebook anymore, just because I don't want to create any divide with the people, you know. And it's all happening without me. But the implosion of the words and the governments and the systems is really starting to become very evident in lots of different ways.
Yeah, so
I can see anyway.
Going back to your question, the biggest course that we've had in our lives, in business, in life, and everything, is doubt. And that has been given to us. It's been indoctrinated into us to everything around us. And the only thing that I teach now, and this is why I created, you asked me about the Conscious Business Academy. And the reason why we created the Conscious Business Academy, not knowing that COVID was coming and not knowing that the world was going to be divided, it was a place where people who were awakening, who wanted to speak spiritually but feared of, you know, being slagged off or abused, oh, you're speaking that woo-woo, but just to get to that level and know that they can do business in a way that brings consciousness into the world and gives them a better life. So still using, you know, developing and grown and influence and having everything that you want in your life, but doing it from a soul level instead of a mind level. And teaching people that they don't need to have that fear. And I've always believed, and I keep saying this all the time, and these things just keep whispering into my ear and my thoughts going, fear not, fear not. Because that's the biggest thing that's holding everyone back. Because when you're in, fear is a vibration. It's like emotions and feelings are a language that we have lost. They're intuition that have been taken away from us.
Instinct.
And if we can start of getting people to understand, to use their intuition, you know, to understand that feeling, to understand their emotions as a language, it's then getting them to build a better life for themselves. So fear not, fear is at that vibration. And if you raise above that vibration to joy, happiness, everything else that's going on around us in the world will fall apart. All that stuff that all these, you know, you can call them conspiracies, you can call them conspiracy theories, you can call what the government's doing or what they're not doing. But if you raise above that and then we build it as united together, you know, that's the world would be an amazing place.
I'm totally with you, man. I am totally with you. I just want to pick that apart for the young guy or the young girl that's listening to this. Because we know this, right? And then the glass ceiling, like that fear is so real, or that doubt is so real, or those limiting beliefs that we all carry are so real and believable beliefs, right? So I totally get the bigger picture of we have fear as one side of the pendulum. Trust is the other. And I often say, like, it's everything is energy and everything is touching. So to me, if there's a war, just to use that word descriptively, it's unconsciousness. And they, whoever they are, want to keep us in that pool of fear. We creep out of that a little bit and get up as far as desire and get the next best clothes or the next best iPhone or get that little thing. And we feel elevated from our fear or our uncertainty and our doubt. So how do you pick that apart yourself for someone who's picking this up and saying, yeah, I understand what you're saying and that makes sense, but what's the steps? Would you say action? Would you say what's the four steps maybe to getting clear on your intuition or trusting the whispers? How would you create space for those whispers to get past the noise?
One thing that's popping up is unity.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, that's the one thing that we have and the power that we have. My wife says to me, you know, I'd love to know what's going on in your head because you're always happy all the time. I says, there was a time when, you know, I worried about everything and everything was fearful. And you know, it's when you get into the spiritual journey, I call it spiritual sparring, you know. Oh, people will talk about something and someone else will talk about something. And well, I know that this and this is energy and I know this is intuition and it's spiritual sparring and you're trying to get up to see who's more spiritually connected, you know.
Yes.
And you know, there's a great, and you kind of have to sit back in that. And you know, there's a saying: if they look like a guru, talk like a guru, walk like a guru, and dress like a guru, they're not a guru. You know,
I hear you. I see what you're saying, man. Definitely.
Yeah. So it's inner work. All someone needs to do is question. All someone has to do is start to use lateral thinking. Everything. You know, there's a bit of truth in everything in the world.
Question and the fear.
All you need
question the doubt. Sometimes one or two questions away from dissolving it.
Yeah, question. Yeah. And it's like you're getting a bit of thread in your jumper. And they go, okay, there's something here. I don't know what it is. And you pull it. And you don't know where it's going to end. You don't know if it's going to break. Is everything? And you just pull it. And it's individual for everybody. And like a couple of years ago, I was at this level that it was, why are we here? You know? And everyone say, the biggest question that everyone asks when we're here is purpose. What is our purpose? So we know that. But what is it? And then, you know, I learned the biggest lesson, or the reason why we're here, is to remember. And it was to remember what? It's to remember who we are. That's all it is. To get back to that connection, that spark of who we are. So if someone is going through fear, or someone is worried, or someone is concerned, and it's easy for me and you to go, just switch off and think about it. But there has to be that break. Like I remember, I don't know if you ever seen my TEDx. And in the TEDx, I talk about walking up a mountain, and I had all the fear. I had lost, you know, family members who passed away, and had a big financial burden on at the time. And it was cracking me up, really. And I walked up a mountain. And I was shouting at the top of my head and effing and blind and everything. And I just, when I got up, there was like a spark of sun. It was like just something just hit me. And I went, what the feck is this? That's all crap. That's my head is creating all these stories inside here. And none of it is irrelevant. That's just outside. What matters is in here. And I took a big breath, and I just skipped back down. But I needed to have that break. And I
everything
think everyone
is necessary.
Does,
that's what I'm hearing with you. Don't interfere. Yeah. Sometimes there's a lot of no judgment here, but sometimes there's a lot of interference with people's journey, isn't it? They need to be here. It could be your son or your daughter or anybody. They don't. They are grand. Everything is exactly as it's supposed to be, right?
It's like with my eldest daughter, she's in her 20s, and I remember when she was in 16, 17, and she was talking about school, and there was friends and, you know, issues, and I said, look, and I think someone had died at the time, and I sort of said, look, you're grown up, there will be casualties along the way. Some people will make it, some people will have addictions, some people will have major issues. But they're the casualties that will be along that path of growing from a teenager into adulthood. You just have to make sure that you're not one of them. And if something comes along, talk to us, and we will help you and navigate you through it.
Keeping that openness.
Keeping that openness, yeah. So, you know, if people are suffering or people are worried, sort of, you know, it's hard to tell people if someone is in that really bad state. You know, it's get out of your head, really true. Get out of your head. And it's none of it really matters. Only what matters is you and your health. If it's a relationship, get out of it. It's, you know, if it's a toxic boss, if it's anything like that, get out of it, you know.
And so much attachment
live
comes
the life
on to
you
decisions.
Want to live.
Yeah, so much attachment comes on. You know, so many different little intricacies, but it's like, you know, one action, one choice,
one thought question, another question, keep pulling that string, and it's just like all of a sudden there's a bit of movement. If that's your journey right now, I hear you saying. If not, swim around in it for another bit.
But you're always going to swim around in it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the murkiness, you know, like I mean, the, you know, because a lot of that, I look at
there's always, murkiness, you know, that's what makes life wonderful. You know, the reality of it is, God, if I knew now what I knew 10 years ago, it would be absolutely amazing. And I'm sure in another 10 years when I'm 60 and I go, God, if I knew what I knew now when I was 50, it would have been amazing. But that's what it all boils to. Like acceptance, you know, it's you know, I've with my coaching business and my consulting business, you know, that's, you know, I've been helping businesses grow for many years and working on sales and marketing and developing all that. But I've even gone out, I've taken a step back even from those processes. And most of the things now that I spend on people is clarity, self-doubt, self-esteem, who they are. And one of the things that whatever's going on in your head at the moment, or whatever concern or issue you're having, it's relating back to something that happened to you in the past. That, you know, we talk about that paradigm shift to get things, you know, that paradigm shift, I'm brilliant, over the wall, great. But go back and you have to analyze. It could be something when you were a kid. It could be something as small as you in the street and someone went, get out of my way at 7 at all. Because when we're grown up, when we're grown up from an age from 0 to probably 2 or 3, our brains are sitting at a different frequency to what they are now. So as a child is playing here, the brain is sort of scanning everything and picking everything up without them knowing. So they hear the parents talk or screaming or happy or laughing. And then when they get, I think it's from about 3 to about 4, the frequency change. So they start to pick up different sounds. And then from 4 to 7, they pick up, and then up to 13. So all these different frequencies that their brains are switching in, all are picking up, they're scanning the rooms, and something might have happened there or overheard something or something that said that happened to them is affecting them now as an adult. Because when you get into about 13, 14, you leave that child behind and you start to prepare for adulthood. But that child is always sitting in your subconscious mind without you realizing, and it is tapping away at your belief system. And the only way that you can figure that out is go back in time and find out what that one thing was that is affecting you today. And when you get that, you go, ha, I got it. And then you might be another one or another. It could be multiple, but at least you're stripping at them and understanding. How do you find them, I'm sure, is a question that, you know, that people ask. And it's, you know, it's,
I think life triggers it, right? Different people and different things and different environments. Like sometimes what I noticed is, reaction happens in the body. Someone says something. It could be on a bus, could be in work, could be on a YouTube or a podcast, but it triggers something. Like you took me on a journey there. Like I processed a lot as you were talking. I went into scenarios from 0 to 3, 3 to 7, and I processed that in the moment. Little memories popped up, and it's like, so it becomes of learning from everything, right? Being open to learn from everything and not getting bogged down in the darkness or why was that, or going in and being very mindful not to go into judgment or blaming somebody or something and getting kind of caught again, but really just taking what I heard there was freeing up that energy. When you unhook that scenario at you were 13, or when you unhook that scenario, when you unhook that, you freed up a lot more space in yourself. Which is what it's to me, yeah, creates more for that whisper to come true, or for a new idea or a new insight.
It's the flow.
Yes.
It's how do you do it? It's, you know, it sounds simple. And when I first heard it, When I first heard it, I kind of went, okay, I'll try that. And I picked off a couple of things, and they made, and what, how I do it was, say you have a worry money, or you have, you know, self-esteem or something, you know, you kind of go, okay, you sit in a room, you know, take a couple of breaths in, breathe into your, you know, do a bit of breathing, relaxing, and kind of go, okay, what is the one thing that is affecting me? And close your eyes and let your mind wander. And your mind will wander into a time. So you said, okay, what age was I? And your mind will go, oh, you were 7. And who was I with? You were with your dad or your mother or your brother or a neighbor or whoever. And you go, okay. And where was I? And your mind will then find that location. And then you go, what was it that said? And what was it? Now, this takes about a half an hour process on your own, you know, and it'll go something. And you go, okay. And people go, is that my conscious mind or is it my subconscious mind? Doesn't matter, because there's something coming through. And get them and write them down. Okay, if this is it, I release it now, and I now replace that with a happier thought. And that's really
the game.
That's the game.
Yes. Yeah.
That's, you know what? People think that life is, that's what I'm saying, you know, life is hard. Or if you go a spiritual journey, it's hard. It's not. We've only, Moses, you know, was doing this. And, you know, all the you know, Jacob and whoever you want to read in the Bible were doing this. Like, if you met Moses today and have a conversation, you'd probably think he was the thickest person in the planet because of the evolution of our mind over thousands and thousands of years.
Yes.
And the stuff that he was doing is what we've lost, and it's the most simplest thing in the world. We've only believed it's complicated because we have
just been tapped in, George. Just being tapped in, giving ourselves that half an hour seems like such a frightening experience at times, or we convince ourselves that we don't have time to give ourselves the half an hour, and yet we'll scroll for days out of year, you know.
The half hour, you know, is you know, you ask someone to close their eyes for 15 minutes and breathe. It's the hardest thing in the world to do. It's the most simplest thing, because we all shallow breed. We've learned to just shallow breed as well. But if you say to someone, sit in that corner 15 minutes and just breed with nothing else, it's that one of the hardest things to do on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
So,
and then it becomes the most rewarding thing to do, right? Used to practice, then it becomes one of the most rewarding things. I've been doing breath works of late, and it's like, it's out of this world experiences I'm having.
Yeah, I'm not a big meditator. I try, and you know, for me it's walking in the woods and listening to nature and absorbing all that Christ consciousness and understanding we are all one with the earth, and that's my meditation. Sitting there, walking, you know, I've, you know, when you're learning. When you want to do a bit of meditation, if you want to go down that road, you know, stick your finger in your ear. Don't cross your legs. Cross your hands. Make your thumbs are together. You know, it's a one hand behind your back. You know, the posture. It doesn't matter.
It's not nonsense. I get you. It's like you can make washing the dishes a meditative experience by fully engaging all the senses.
The one thing that I do if I do meditate is, you know, I put my feet on the ground, I breathe in from Christ consciousness into my heart, and then I breathe, you know, Mother Earth up from Mother Earth into my heart, and then I breathe from divine from my head into my brain and down to my heart, and then I push it out. And then I do that process again. So up from Mother Earth, down from Divine, into my heart, and then I push out from my heart, connecting my heart and my headspace. So connecting them as one. And I'll do that for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, or, you know, I've done meditations with friends who, and you know, after an hour I'm going, fucking hell, sorry for cursing on your show. Yes, I go,
please
I have to get off this call, you know, I can't do this anymore, because now I'll go walking in the woods for hours and that, and it's giving yourself that time to connect with divine. That's really what it is. That's, you know,
another word of saying that is nature in itself, right?
Yeah. It's like I ask people, do you have a soul? So, you know, do you have a soul? And the question is, they go, yeah. It says, no, you don't have a soul. You are a soul.
You are a soul.
And your body,
with a body.
is given to you like a car. When you jump into your car, you're not the car, are you? You don't comb the steering wheel and the pedals and the mirrors and the lights. You don't become them. You just use the car, and you use all the stuff in the car to navigate you and drive you around. And that's what this is.
Take that one step forward, and then you put the wipers on crazy, and that's the thoughts. And then, you think you're the thoughts then, right?
Yeah, the thoughts, but you're not. You're in this vehicle, and this vehicle was created on Earth, and you as spirit, as a soul, have come into this body. You know, it's created on Earth, so you're part like a tree, the flowers, the wood, the other people, all created on Earth. And when you die, this body goes back into the Earth, and you then turn back into energy and go wherever that may be.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah. I love that. I've been the hardest, the alchemist, I've been saying a lot lately. It really resonates, because a lot of that lower, getting spiritual now, is the lower chakra stuff, the power centers, the root chakra, the survival, and coming up into our power and our creativity. That comes up when I'm hearing you breathe up through the earth, you're breathing up through those centers. You're breathing down from the cosmos or the divine, and in the center is the alchemist. And I think that's where we're going from, is actually moving from there. And a lot of the world right now is showing us the shadow, or the aspects that we've been ignoring. And this comes from the church, and it comes from all different places, the shame and the guilt, it's everywhere, the blame, the comparison. It's kind of all that way, pointing outwards. But when we go into that other stuff, that's the way I'm wording that, is that's what I'm alchemizing, is to, or that's what we're all rising through as a collective now. We're getting to see it, like, you know, there's so many archetypes showing us this good, bad.
There's many archetypes, and there's, you know, if you want to talk about evil all the time, you'll manifest evil. If you want to talk about godliness, or, you know, magmatism, you'll create it. Because if you want to talk about good and bad within this earth, the greatest gift that we have as mankind is creating everything by our thoughts. And that,
and
we have been blocked. Oneness, we have been blocked from that, because that's, if we keep everyone in a resonance of fear, we can't then change what's going on. As I say, you know, a person that has as much faith as a mustard seed can move a mountain. And the fear keeps us in that holding pattern. And when we are now, which we are going through, we could call it a great awakening, and more people are waking up. That collective consciousness has great power. And if we want to change the world that is in it at the moment, all we need is for all those people who are rising to follow love, to follow joy. And then we'll see everything alchemizing. 100%. And there's this thing about that love, and people think of love, they think it's about sex, and they think, but it's not. It's
I'm glad you went there.
It's like
an energy, right?
It's an energy. It's like creativity.
Yes.
Creativity is so powerful. And people get confused with it in work scenarios where people have affairs with other people they're working with, because they've hit this creative energy, which is godliness of a creative energy to do this work, but they get confused and thinks it's a sexual attraction towards the other person, but it's not. It's a creativity within the project. And we have to learn that these things are creative. And when we solve this or help ourselves develop this and work towards our own divine spiritual workings within life, it all can just be an amazing place collectively for us all.
That's it. And that distortion, that's what I mean. That's where you're getting into the sexual centers and the creativity and that energy. It's distorted so much with the fucking songs that you're listening to and the wording of it and the energy even of the songs. It's all discombobulated down there and malfunctioning in a way.
But if you want to say, going into that sort of low levels of fear and low levels of consciousness.
Or lust or desire.
That's triggered in, as you say, songs that we play, ads that we hear, the news that we hear, the papers that we read, all that stuff. You know, recession
creates so much confusion. All that falsehood creates so much confusion sometimes.
But consciousness, right? If you look at consciousness and look at what's going on in us, there's probably thousands of little small levels of electrical consciousness moving around our body, our thoughts, our, you know, pumping our heart, you know, all the stuff that's around us,
yeah.
Nervous system, you know, all the cells all have life, everything is all, you know, pumping around us. That one thing in the back of our mind, which is subconscious, is scanning stuff as well.
Yeah.
And you could hear something in the news, which you don't even pick up. But your subconscious mind is picking that energy level, putting it in, and it's creating your driving pattern for that day without you even knowing.
Billboards, newspapers, glossy mags. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Recession, was it 2016 the recession kicked off? You know, I would have news talk attached to my ear. The political system I would be following. I would listen to the counts, you know, going on at 4 a.m. And as the recession got worse, I just said, all this is just fear-feeding crap, you know, and I just got to one day, I said, right, I've got to make a conscious decision not to read this paper. You know, the Sunday I'd have the 4 or 5 papers. Put them to the side. Gradually stopped phasing out TV. You know, realised TV was boring. And like, we have Netflix here now and some other channel. And that's it. I've nothing else. And I'd probably switch the TV on maybe twice a week for a couple of hours to watch a box set or something. The rest of the time I'm filling my mind with books, or I'm listening to podcasts, or I'm listening to, you know, books, or filling my mind with stuff that I enjoy instead of
interviewing Greg Braden. Negative. That was epic.
Yeah. And instead of just listening to garbage all the time.
I totally hear you. And I remember the first time I heard one of the first programs I ever bought for $1,000, and the guy said about not watching TV and about being informed but never getting sucked into that. And at the time I was watching all the MTV hit shows, and just prior to that I would have been on construction sites buying the nuts magazines and stuff like that. And as you're describing that now, it's like the powers that be understand those lower frequency desires, and they just appeal to them all day long, every day, everywhere. And it's this self-awareness that you think maybe in the beginning, like, I wouldn't know what to do without the TV or the telly. Yeah, that's true from where you are right now. But as you continue to kind of go on this journey, it becomes a case of you just recognize that it just doesn't do it for you anymore. It doesn't fill that gap anymore. You're kind of moving slowly in a different direction towards yourself, but it's reflected outside also.
But isn't that tell a vision? You know, tell a vision. And that's all it
program
is.
Program me.
Programming, you know, and then, you know, channeling, but you know, so I think with life is, and that's where going back to where you were talking about, like, how do you tell people? You don't.
I think all conversations like this, I'd love to have more people listen, more construction workers, more average Joes just listening on the way to work, just a different, two men having a different conversation, not saying you need to do this, I need to do that, but just creating that curiosity. It's a part of us, you know, we're all getting ready.
That's it.
Yeah.
It is curious. You know, people say to me,
very different energy telling someone what they need to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's the cure, being curious, you know, and it's that ripple effect. You know, I believe everybody is right. I don't believe anybody is wrong, no matter what their point of view is in this world, because it depends on the way they've grown up, the way they see the world through their own eyes. And that's okay. It's only if I try and force my opinion on you and drive it down your neck, or you try and force your opinion on me. That's where we have a problem. And that's going back to the center, unity. And it is even creating a unity in our own disbeliefs in each other's life. You know, our own
allowing other people to have other opinions.
But the way that we move forward, and I think that, you know, 2021, I think this year will be the year of disclosure. I've said this multiple times that this year will be the year of disclosure. A lot of things will come out this year, and more and people wake up. It's like I've always said, when the government did a lockdown, I cheered. Because when they did a lockdown, they just woke up another couple of thousand people, you know? So every time they feck up in that way, you know, there's more people waking it up, lateral thinking, more questioning. And that's the beauty of it. And this year, we will see what happens this year. And it's going to take us a decade to build, to get things right again.
Clean up phase.
You could say COVID is like the demolition crew, you know, coming in and wrecking the place. And then it's going to have the painter and decorators coming in, you know, the reconstruction crew is going to be coming in and rebuilding. And it's like when people, I watch them online and they go, oh, the police, the guards, they're, you know, when it says, you know, the guards are only doing their job because they're getting paid overtime. And there will be a time when people will have to realize, are we for the people or are we for the political end? Because it's a sovereignty, it's the people that matter. And when that shift happens, greatness will move. Or people go, oh, we take down the government or we take down the police force. I says, there's nothing wrong with the government. There's nothing wrong with the police force. There's nothing wrong with these organizations. But there's nothing wrong with them. It's only small.
All part of the play. It's only
small individuals that give an organization a bad name. Remove those individuals and rebuild that organization. Like, you know, it's so messed up. You can jump online on Facebook.
It's so messed up. It's not their fault.
I think what's going on in the world at the moment, that everybody is complaining. And everybody is going, born RTE.
Passionately.
Born RTE, you know, compassionately, born RTE. And you go, okay, well, if you're born RTE, what happens? You run in there with your fire and burn it. What happens? Everyone is complaining. It's now a time for solutions. You know, when I'm coaching with a client or a company, I say to them, you know, solutions. Solutions. You know, don't want to hear problems. Give me solutions.
Conscious business is changing the world. Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's. I think we've had a year of complaining, are going, COVID is wrong, lockdown is wrong. You know, there's a bigger power here, or something's happening here. We know it. Like I say to people, it's not about everyone that knows it is all on the same groups, and they're all in all the other groups, and they're, so what? Everyone knows. They don't need to tell you anything because you're awake. You know, it's only subtly waking up other people, but it's also people. Okay, you've told me this is garbage. What's the solution?
And a lot of frustration out there with people. They feel like the only way to break the establishment is to fight the establishment. But what you fight, you feel, and that's the old way.
The only way is
good meaning people, right? The vast majority of them.
Unite and go, this is the way forward. Like, I think from a political point of view, I think there's just bad management in there, or just bad leadership. And they need the leadership is bad because of what happened in the very beginning, and now they're just stuck in a hole. And one thing I've learned through all my years and through all the business and all the people I've ever spoken to and all the rules, when you give anybody, even myself, you, anybody a role, we like it because it's that ego. And it's very hard to take that control back off that person. Just a small little bit.
Demotion. And no one wants to get demoted.
Not even demotion. It's just, you know, this has worked. Why do I want to, you know, just, you know, it's that psyche. And it's for the people to kind of go, you know, to stand up and go, we screwed up. Now let's do it. Get it right. And there is people that are, you know, around us that are in it for themselves and in it for the money and in it for their own agenda. And it's, we need people that, you know, that do everything for the greater good, not what
integrity. I think integrity is important.
Yeah.
Integrity is important moving forward. I don't believe that that's where the conscious business keeps coming back, because as I make that transition from the struggle and the working hard, and I get paid for doing what I love, and it gets to be easy for me, the more and more I kind of develop and remember, I actually was an entrepreneur as a kid, cutting grass and able to buy me horse and all that kind of stuff. And then I got caught into the job. It's like entrepreneurs are actually changing the world because they're solving tangible problems on so many levels. And I think without integrity now, you're not going to get very far in the next few years because of the way the energy is moving. I think you're going to be found out very fast.
Understand what your values are, you know, and believe those values and move forward. And yeah, it's integrity. Look, we've all fucked up.
Yes,
you know, absolutely. We've all made mistakes. We've all upset people. We all have flashbacks of going, oh, did that happen? Oh God, I hope that, you know, and it's learning to forgive yourself, forgive them, forgive yourself. That's, you know, whatever it may be. And, you know, people think, oh, you know, judgment. It says, yeah, don't judge, but analyze. It's okay to analyze things. You don't need to judge someone, but you can analyze what they're doing and then go, that's wrong.
All the solutions we've talked about here right now are all free. Forgiveness, acceptance, nature, breath, analyzing yourself. These are all tools that we can use to actually enhance our life for that free, right?
The one thing I've learned over it, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people over the last 4.5 years with the two shows, and I've realized that everyone is just the same. You know the old story, you know, we all sit down the same way, you know, that way.
Bleed the same color.
And everyone is, it's just the confidence of the belief in themselves. And I've also on some stages, I've gone down to see the dark end as well in research that I've done for a couple of programs. And that, you know, I've noticed that when you see the darkness and shine that light on the darkness, it goes. And the darker that I've looked at, the more spiritual I have become. And I've also learned, I don't believe that there is a such thing as the devil, but I believe there is people that believe there is. and those people, as you have people who believe in Christ, there's people who believe in the dark side, and both sides, that battle is on, because both sides worship
duality, right? Both ends of the same of the spectrum, the same coin of consciousness. So, well, I've been lucky with regards to, a lot of people are blown away when I say I'm not religious, but it's just, to me, that seems common sense, that when you're saying it's just extremes and it's polarities and it's all duality. But from the bigger perspective, even the darkest of things is all playing out exactly as it's supposed to. And it's one, it's an ultimate, more of an ultimate objective, I suppose, but it's not easy to see in everyday life.
Well, here's something for you.
Okay.
Up to recently, if you ask me about the religion, church, I would tell you that the church is filth. I would tell you that the Catholic Church should be burned to the ground and everything within it. And my belief was that the church was corrupt. I believe that the church is a paedophile, you know, so someone who is paedophilia, you know, they don't just come into a church and then commit. It was a breeding ground for this, right? And I hated the church. I read a great book by a guy, Taylor Marshall, Dr. Taylor Marshall, called The Infiltration from Within. And it was a book where it was saying that it was, you know, a long, long, long time ago, 200, 300 years ago, and this is history to what the church is today, that people knew, you know, the Romans or whoever knew that if they killed someone within the church, they became martyrs. And, you know, anytime they tried to do something, the church got bigger. So there was a plan to get people within the church to infiltrate within, knowing that if we got people into the church, we could start infiltrating from within and destroy it. State over religion.
Interesting.
Paedophilia, you know, and even, you know, Vatican I, Vatican II, if you look at Vatican II, where John Paul, which we are so loved with in Ireland when he came here, in that there was a part of it that if anyone was sodomized or if sexually abused a child, they would be stripped of the church, they would lose their pension, they would be publicly told. There was all this. And John Paul changed that to, you know, if this happened, you know, they wouldn't they wouldn't lead their pension. So we loosened the laws on this, on it. And there was other stuff as well in Vatican II, which sort of brings it, relaxes a lot of the teaching. And by reading that book and believing what I said there earlier about the, it's not the organization, it's the people. And these two belief systems in me made me realize that the church, the essence of the church itself is beautiful. But the there has aspect. Been the faith aspect of it. But the infiltration in it. And these were infiltration from the, there was, I could jump back to 1666 to a further history. And that goes a bit deeper into it. But there's a book, if you know, 1966, Abaziah, I can't think of his name. And that was just, he had a million followers, and they believed that the Ten Commandments, the million followers in Turkey or in that region, million followers, and the ten, he did the opposite of the Ten Commandments. So everything in that, what they were, look at the opposite. And the Tsar of Turkey got your man and converted to Muslim. So he lost about 1,750,000 and kept 250,000 still believed him, but he was still practicing all this, and this grew. This is history. Getting down back up to about 200 years was through the infiltration of the church. And that was the likes of, in that it says, like, it was these people infiltrated the Freemasons, and then the Freemasons entered into the church. And like, even in that book, he talks about the popes and what happened and the financial bank within in the Vatican as well, and even to the Pope that's there today, believing that he works for the mafia, money laundering on it. So all this stuff, which is shown there, you kind of look at it as, if it is infiltration, the essence of it's good. It's just, it needs to be removed from, all these people need to remove that. So it's a good book.
It's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And because I know we're going to wrap up now in a second. It's like the thing with religion for me is like all streams of the one main river, because so many of the religions have these aspects where they make the other wrong, which then by definition makes the whole thing unstable.
Just from my
narrow-minded perspective, because I haven't dove into any of them, just being honest.
Yeah, no, it's like when I start on just joining, I read the Bible, you know, when I read the Quran and, you know, all them, and only read them. And I'm sort of doing a full circle now, and I'm sort of, you know, I've always been interested in history. I love history.
So there's codes in them, Joe, isn't there? They're not, what we have now is not probably the way that they were. You know, you think about Chinese whispers, man, from 10 years ago with your brother and sister.
I've never believed that the Bible is the Bible. There's something has always resonated with me.
Yes.
That the Bible is the Bible. Because in the Bible, it says that, you know, sinners, and it says, you know, a vengeful God.
Yes.
So I know that it has been altered through the centuries to suit the dogma religion of the people that were in control. Do you remember what I said? You give a man some control and he doesn't want to take it back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think of that on a bigger scale on political parties, governments, and religion, right? That same bit of control, when it turns into something with power, lots of power. And that's why I've never really sat with it. But I'm looking at history now and I'm going back to history and I'm looking at all these little sort of things that you follow, like, and even if you want to go back, like, you can go back to Cain and Abel and what's going on, you know, the divide with Cain and Abel and what those significance that they have in today's world through the ages. It's you know, biblical, it's history, you know, and you don't even have to go back to the last 200, 300 years, and then things you'll see, you can still, you know, it always isn't tell what's going on today, and history always repeats itself, and that's why I believe we are in, because more and more people realize that life is meant to be easy. Life is meant to be easy.
Love that. That's epic, Joe. I'm going to ask you that question of, before you go, like, when you say spiritual journey, what's the definition of a spiritual journey for you? You know, we throw these words around, but what does it, for me, it just kind of means life or truth or just, you know, sense in a way. But I'd love to know what that word translates for you. When you describe a spiritual journey, are you just describing a journey of self-discovery?
Yeah, covering one's and into it. That's it. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you very much, Joe. Where can anyone who listens find you? What's your website exactly? I'm going to do a little add on to the an intro and outro on these, but just I'd love to know and get it in the main version.
You can just catch me, joedalton.ie, or the consciousbusinessacademy.net. They're the two places, or LinkedIn. I'm banned from Twitter.
Nice.
I'm suspended from Twitter.
Good man, I'm proud of you.
it's funny. We did a show on censorship. Did a show, a radio show on censorship, and I posted it up on Twitter and then I got censored.
Wow. Interesting.
So good talking to you. Good talking to you on that.
That was epic, Joe. Thank you very much, my friend. And I'll speak to you soon, no doubt.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You can hit that off, knock that off record there. Pause.